Celtics will inbound and just have to get across half court. Five games in the Eastern Conference Finals. Five decisive wins for the home team. And on a night, everyone came to TD Garden in fear of the king. It was the prince that emerged. Jason Tatum dominates game five, and the Boston Celtics are one game away from the NBA Finals. They've beaten the Cleveland Cavaliers in game five by a final of 96-83.
And that's where we begin today here on Felger Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub FM dial here in Boston. Terrestrial radio catches on the simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. That's the simulcast on TV. You catch us anytime on the stream, 98.5thesportshub.com, the 98.5thesportshub app. Download that. That fires us up live. You can also get our podcast if you miss any show or hour or segment. It's all there at the end of the day, so you never miss any Felger and Maz. Anthony, how are you?
Good, you?
Peachy, thoughts on that game and this series?
So I think people are actually getting this wrong, frankly.
Oh, shocker.
I do. I think people are getting it wrong. The Cavaliers are the real winners in that game last night, and let me tell you why. Because from my standpoint, that game was a contest to see who could suck the most. That's what that game was. There was no real winner in that game. Don't delude yourself. They both sucked. Both teams sucked in that game. And Cleveland, I'd like to give them a tip of the cap because they sucked more. Tell me that wasn't one of the... And when I say, that's a significant game, right? A game five is a big game. That's a key game in a series. So when you talk about a meaningful game, can you remember one that was as bad as that one?
I don't know. I don't know what to compare it to. Are you really surprised?
I'm surprised it was that bad. Like, honestly, at least the home teams in this series have played well to now.
You don't think the Celtics played well last night?
I don't. What did they shoot? 37%? No, I don't think they played well. I mean, look, a couple of guys played well. Tatum was fabulous. And so, like, I look at Tatum and I say more and more. I don't want to move that kid. I don't. I feel strongly about Tatum. But that game last night was a debacle.
How do you feel about the series?
I think the whole series has been this way. There hasn't been a game yet that has held my attention, you know, through the into the fourth quarter.
The series has sucked. The series has sucked.
Oh, you're joyless. I got a lot of that last night, too, because let's be honest. I'm happy that they're winning. It's great. It's the same game over and over and over again. We don't have to break this down. You don't have to get in the X's and O's. If Aaron Baines really mattered, it's the home court. It's the home court. See you Sunday night for game seven. They're going to lose Friday, and then they'll win Sunday night. It's the same game over and over
over. I'm so rooting for
a game.
A game, facets of the game, elements to the game, and I'm just not getting them. The home team goes up by double digits in the first half, and that's it. And the only outlier is game two. So you got a little bit of push and pull in game two, I suppose, but then Cleveland completely quit in the second half. And I don't know, that ended up being a whatever, 12-point game and wasn't competitive and was not a good basketball game at the end of the day. The series is starting to bug the crap out of me.
It should.
I mean, it really is. I find the storylines compelling because I'm a storyline guy, and, you know, there's storylines that we'll talk about. But the games themselves, hey.
Tractor pulls.
Compare that to the Western Conference final game between Houston and Golden State the night before. It looked like a completely different sport. Like, if you're those two teams and you watch these teams, you're like, bring either one of these on. My God. There's no competition in the second half.
I know, it is. It's brutal. I also look at the Celtics and I say, there's a good story there. There is. In the big picture, there's a good story
Absolutely.
There. And so they have ground their way through the rounds of these playoffs and through this series, and they are now on the verge. They are knocking on the door of the NBA Finals, man. That is a good story. It's just hard to see it in that mudslinging that's going on in the court on a nightly basis.
I'd much rather talk about it than watch it. That's where I'm at. I find this the predictability of the home road thing so demoralizing. Like, I do not watch it for this. Like, you children, just because you need your hometown announcer to Jaylen Brown for three, and then you hit him, but you go to another arena where the guy says JR Swish, and you don't hit him. Like, I'm dealing with 8-year-olds. So, like, It's just demoralizing to me. I'm waiting for someone to break that trend, and I don't feel it in this series.
So
I got to do with all the fake NBA drama. Like, here's fake NBA drama. Now suddenly LeBron's fatigued, and now I got to listen for 2 days about LeBron. Can he dig deep? And is it obvious he's going to go home? He's going to go for 40 and a triple double, and they're going to win and win and come home on Sunday. And it's like, it's just all it is like a setup for this fake drama of LeBron battling through the fatigue all of a sudden. Where the game before, how many minutes did he play? How many points did he score? He was all over the place. But in this one, inside of 2 minutes, he's grabbing his shorts on a free throw.
Yeah, LeBron's writing his next chapter. That's what he's doing. To me, I'm convinced the whole thing is it's a setup. That LeBron is setting up his departure from Cleveland because I think it's been a priority for him all along, that he wasn't going to leave Cleveland the same way he did the last time. So now he had a really lackluster game five. Got to go, but this is going to be his final home game as a member of the Cavs this time. You really think he's going to go out and mail it in? He set himself up to be a hero in Cleveland so that when he leaves after losing game seven in Boston, because that's where it feels like this thing's headed. Okay, I know we're not in the prediction business. But it feels like that's where we're headed. That neither team has the sack to win on the other team's floor. So LeBron gets his final grand farewell in Cleveland. I feel like he's orchestrating the whole thing. He's choreographing it. I feel like he's setting up his grand farewell. He gets his ovation as he walks off the floor. They come here, lose on Sunday, and he leaves. And he doesn't have to, you know, put up a stink bomb in front of his own fans.
Is there any little facets worth talking about other than home court and LeBron, how he's setting us up? Like, okay, Tatum, I mean, I do want to take a little half credit for Tatum because I've been saying a lot that one thing I think Stevens needs to do is get Tatum involved early because he's not as nearly as involved in the offense early in these games as he should be. And he was last night and ended up having a great night. I think that was important.
Absolutely.
Let's see the kid do it on the road, and let's see Stevens prioritize it on the road. He's arguably your best offensive player, so don't let him go through a quarter or a half with three shots.
No, you got to get him the ball. You got to get him involved early because he is like the one, you know, again, one real guy or most reliable guy to me that can get his own shot at his own points.
And impress upon him, be aggressive.
Yes.
Play with force, as they like to say.
Yes, yes. You know, 19, 20, it doesn't matter. The kid's clearly beyond his years. And so, you know what? Use every one of these games as an opportunity to take another step so that the next time there is a road game that is meaningful, whether it's in the spring of 2019 or whenever, that you're that much farther along. And so I told you, I've loved Tatum from the beginning. I just think he can play.
Okay, they should have been doing more to make sure he was involved early.
No question. Yep. No question about it. No question about it. He is the one guy that I feel best about in terms of getting his own shot and being able to see it through.
Okay, item number two, Baines in the starting lineup, and did that make a big difference?
It made a difference. It, it's hard to say big when the other team doesn't seem to want to play on the road. How can you really tell? So it's like every counter move that either side has made looks like it's bigger than it is because the other team can't play on the road.
This is my point.
So you don't know. But I will say that, look, in the paint, around the rim, he's a big body. He's a factor. So it felt that way last night.
Yeah, that's the way to say it. It felt like it mattered, and it felt like he was a bit of a factor in game four. I wish he got more minutes. But again, it's the home gym. Like, that's what the main factor was. That's why they played so well. That's why it was over after a quarter. Even look at LeBron's body language early, too. And I was listening to this part on the radio. Like, Randy pointed it out, and rightfully so. Outside of him and Kevin Love, everyone else sucked, and he basically had slumped shoulders, and he had checked out the first quarter.
In the first quarter, he wasn't getting back on defense. Like, the whole fatigue storyline makes sense to me when he's, you know, played 20 of the 24 minutes at the end of the second quarter. Or you're in the third quarter, and now he's played 40 minutes a night, he's on his way to another 40, and so it's like 5 minutes into the game, he's pulling this stuff.
He wasn't interested.
Which leads you to believe it's play acting. It's play acting. It's a setup. It's, you know, and you see it all the time with him and in the league in particular. And it was my worst fear. I've been holding out hope. I mean, I started yesterday by saying I think road teams can win. You know, I'm willing it to happen, to actually have true competition and not this NBA version of this, you know, sort of glorified fake drama reality show non-competition. Like, I hate it. God, I hate it. I'm willing it to happen. Right? Am I rooting for it? Like,
I know.
I think the Celtics should be that kind of team that can break through, so show it to me. And LeBron should be able to come in here and impose his will, but no one's showing it, so it's like so frustrating. But that's what leads me to believe he was pulling the fatigued act before he even had a reason to be fatigued.
No doubt. He cashed it in last night. The other thing is, did you notice on those few occasions where they would get a defensive rebound and they looked like they had numbers that he was pretty good getting up the court? Now, they might not have been able to finish because the Celtics are getting their asses back. But LeBron wasn't moving slow when he had the ball, and all of a sudden there was a chance to get a layup at the other end.
He wasn't getting back on D. It was one of those things where, again, when he's sitting back there complaining to the ref or walking up the floor, he wasn't getting back.
He was setting it up for his grand farewell in Cleveland in Game 6. I really believe that. Because I just think this is how he operates. He knows he's the story, or at least in his mind, he's the story. And it's going to be a huge, huge deal. This could be LeBron's last game in Cleveland. That's the whole storyline of this next game. That's the whole, all across America, that's the storyline.
Have you ever seen a worse seven-game series in your life?
No. I saw a game years ago in the playoffs where the Celtics played the Pistons, and the final was like 68-65. And I thought, oh my God, that's the worst game I've ever seen. Until now. That game was at least close. Like, the quality of basketball sucked, but the outcome was in doubt. Last night, holy crap, was that bad. Oh my God, I was struggling to stay up. I couldn't decide whether I wanted to puke, go sit on the toilet for a half hour, fall asleep, like, or all the above. It was that bad. It was so freaking bad. Conference Finals, Game 5. That's the night Bird stole the ball from Isaiah, right? Game 5. Here we go. You got that? Oh my God, was that awful. Awful. And look at seriously, I think I tweeted at one point, they set basketball back 60 years. 60. I take that back. 70. 70 years. It was so freaking bad. It was horrible basketball. It was horrible theater. Horrible. Horrible, 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 horrible.
Okay, and we're going to talk about it with your thoughts. What are yours? Maz had to sit on the toilet for 30 minutes. Did that game send you to the bathroom? We'll discuss right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger and Maz.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Pass ends Hill in, but he's met at the rim and rejected by Aaron Baines. Jaylen Brown flying up the floor right side, pulls up over Kevin Love. Runner no good, but the offensive rebound tacked home by Aaron Baines.
Baines with a finger roll in. Put that ball. He blocked the shot and then comes back with a tap in.
Tatum steps to his left and knocks down a three. Cavs fell asleep defensively. And Tatum finally saw an opportunity. And
I didn't see that shot coming.
Neither did the Cavs. Tatum the rebound. Gallops up the floor. Zips the entry to Baines for the two-hand slam. Complete misdirection there. Tatum led the Cavs to think he was going right. Moved the pass back to his left where Aaron Baines was running.
Find those runners. Find those guys running the floor.
LeBron lobs it up ahead looking for Nance, and it's knocked away by Marcus Morris. And he stares Nance down, and Nance hits him from behind. Morris shoves him back with the left hand.
But Nance got hit. And he didn't help Nance up. So what was he mad about? He didn't get helped up, or did Morris say something to him as he flew out of bounds? And
Marcus Morris throws a wink at Jaylen Brown.
Oh,
Marcus Morris just barked at him.
Does this fire the Cavaliers up?
Yeah, and you remember this is happening with the Celtics up by 17. Missed free throw, and now rebound comes to LeBron. Bounce pass lead, looking for Love, picked off by Rozier. Celtics by 10, 56-46, Rozier. Push pass, wow. Tatum, quick three, got it.
Man, that's a huge play. That is huge, you swing back like that.
And Ty Lue knows it, which is why he's going to put a stop to it right now. Kick out Horford, three in the air, got it.
Ooh, Big Al, that's money time.
When it matters most, 15-12 for Al Horford here in Game 5. And the Boston Celtics are one game away from the NBA Finals.
We did what we were supposed to do. We won here, big Game 5 for us. And, you know, now we have a big challenge to go on the road. We're going to have to play a great game come Friday.
To do what we want to do, we still have to beat this team one more time. And it's hard to win a game in the NBA. It takes a ton of preparation, takes a ton of focus, takes a ton of effort. And that's the task.
Okay, your thoughts as promised right to you. Lead off with our buddy Pete in Delaware. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, guys. I agree with you guys. This is the worst series I've seen in a long time. My wife came in the fourth quarter to watch the game with me, and she did. 2 minutes left in the game, she looks at me and goes, hon, I don't mean to be like smart aleck, but isn't the goal to get the ball in the basket? I mean, that was bad basketball. They're both mentally convinced they can't win on the other team's court. I mean, go look at Kevin Love and Kyle Korver's comments. They don't know what's going on is what they say about Boston. It's truly remarkable how they're convinced they can't win.
See, I am totally okay with poor shooting percentages, the ball not going in, like the 68-65 game you mentioned. Like, I just can't stand the lack of competitiveness.
Right.
I mean, that to me is demoralizing as a ardent sports fan and a sporty, and like that's what makes this stuff so interesting to me, is the matching of wits, and both physical and mental matching of wits.
And spirit.
And who comes out ahead, and how do you outthink and outwork the other team and all those things. And in some of these NBA series, man, it is just, you'll take this one, we'll go home and take that one, and, you know, just complete resignation. And I get it every night in this series, and I hate it.
I hate it. It is. It's a dog. I had one little glimmer of hope last night, like a lot of people, when the whole thing happened with Nance, Morris, and Rozier.
Yeah, Cleveland woke up.
Yep. And I thought, okay, here we go. Now they're going to fight. Now we're going to get, I mean, you know, they're going to compete. And we're going to get a game. And they whittled it down. It was like 12-3 run they went on. And okay, here we go. Now we're going to see who's made of what here. And it all fell apart. Again, like, it lasted for about, you know, 3 minutes, and that was it. It was over. Seriously. It was like watching porn.
Eric in Rhode Island. Hi, Eric.
Michael, I have a sort of a simple question. Isn't it the home crowd that gets the home team going in these games, not the building or the announcer? I mean, I guess I want you to tell me specifically what it is that you think is wrong about the home crowd getting the home team going.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. What's wrong is the players on the other team succumbing to it, saying, it's not our night. And it's just like a self-fulfilling prophecy. I mean, it's not as hard as they make it. But what it is they get down and they say, well, we're not going to win tonight here. We'll get them the next game at home.
And they cave.
And so they just cave and say, we'll get them the next game. And the other team goes on the road and loses. And they say, well, we got them at home in game five, so we'll just, what's the point of fighting through this? We'll just get them in game five. And it just ping-pongs back and forth. And I mean, you're right, Eric. The crowd's, I mean, these guys have been playing in little gyms their entire life. They've never heard a crowd before. They've never heard the opposing announcer go, J.R. Smith for three! Like, that does it? That, it's just so lame.
And the Cavs especially, to me, because they're a more veteran team. Like, the Celtics, at least I can look at and say, Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum going on the road and tightening up, or, you know, turtling a little. I get that. I get it. I don't get it as much for Horford, even Marcus Morris. But the young guys, the key guys, Rozier, I get it. LeBron, J.R. Smith,
Horford,
Korver. Yeah, right.
Horford's a home road guy.
But the whole Cleveland roster is old. Like, the whole roster.
Yeah.
I look at the whole team and say, the Cavs should be able to withstand it a little bit better than the Celtics should, and it's been the opposite. So I just, it blows me away. This series has been, oh my God, has it sucked.
I mean,
it has sucked the life out of me.
So, right, I don't think that the crowd psychs out the Cavs. I think it helps you. I don't know if it psychs out the Cavs. What I would say the Cavs have is this, well, they have so much institutional knowledge, they know they don't have to win on the road till game seven. So why am I going to extend myself here when, well, we're down 14, we're probably going to lose. So I'm not going to overextend myself. We get them in game six, and then in game seven, we'll flip the switch. Like, maybe that's what Cleveland's doing. Boston, I think, is just young or inexperienced or soft or, you know, whatever in places. I think Cleveland might have a different mindset there, which is just, well, we don't, we'll turn it on when we need to.
I mean, it's a bad match. I have my doubts about Cleveland in game seven. I feel the same way about them now that I felt after game two.
Kyle in Boston for Maz. Go ahead, Kyle.
Yeah, Felger, look, this is one of the chippiest, scrappiest Celtic teams we've seen since Garnett's 2017. And it goes back to before that. The Lakers thought that they couldn't beat the Celts in the 80s when they were in Boston. So this isn't anything new. And I would just say that Maz...
Hold on, Kyle. I just have to stop you. The Lakers couldn't beat the Celtics in Boston when they were here?
They tried for a very long time.
How long? I'm not going back to the 60s. They beat you in
85 and 87.
85 and 87. They clinched the championship. It, with the baby hook game, was that for the championship? Was that a clinching game?
No, it was. I think that was a game five game here.
When Magic hit the little baby hook?
Yeah.
No, so from my childhood, Kyle, I can't go back to the 60s. I wasn't born. But my childhood, the Lakers, not every time, but enough, came here and kicked your ass for championships. That happened. Sorry. They did. Are you still there?
I think, Maz, I just want to say your motive as to why LeBron wants to go close out in Cleveland in a game six doesn't make any sense. I mean, if he won last night, he's going there and he's leaving even a bigger legacy. So I don't understand where you're coming from.
No, see, you got that wrong because he doesn't want to play in the next round. He's not going to go. He doesn't want to go to the finals and get his ass kicked. No, I'm serious. I've resigned myself to this reality. He's going to what? And he's going to go home and get blown up by Golden State on his home floor? He doesn't want. He knows he can beat the Celtics at home. I don't think he knows that he can beat the other ones at home. I think that he has set this up so he can give his grand farewell in the next game, lose game seven, and see you later. I'm telling you, that's what I believe more than ever right now.
All the LeBron fatigue last night, I feel like I'm being set up. I feel like it's a typical NBA fake drama setup. How could he have been fatigued 5 minutes into the game? Jimmy in New Hampshire. Go, Jimmy.
You guys are so cooked. I love it. I love it. Next week when I call you, we're going to be talking about how the Celtics have a legit shot to win the whole thing. And Jim Murray, I am very curious. Who do you think is the better defensive team, the Celtics or either the Rockets or the Warriors? Like, who do you think is the best defensive team out of those three?
I mean, if they're playing at their best, I can maybe make a case for the Celtics, but the Warriors are right there, too.
Nah. No, it's not maybe make a case. It's the Celtics are the best defensive team in basketball, have been all year. The Rockets-Warriors game the other night, guys, was 95-92.
So what's your point?
What makes you guys think we cannot compete with those teams?
Jimmy, how come you're giving up 12 more points on the road than you are at home?
Did you notice game four?
No. Answer the question.
The question. X's, X's, and O's.
So wait.
We did not switch. Terry Rozier was guarding LeBron every time, right, Felger? Brad Stevens, Coach Brad, did that on purpose. He completely changed what they were doing in game five.
So hold on. Stop. Okay. Stop talking. So you're saying Stevens purposely put in some bad game plans on the road to set them up for future victories?
He did not change during the game.
I'm asking
you,
Jimmy.
Anybody who knows anything about basketball knows Rozier was getting crushed. Of course you should change that. Why didn't Brad Stevens change it? Because he's dumb all of a sudden?
No. So why didn't he? So what, you're saying he purposely put their team in a bad spot to set him up for the next game?
I got news for you. Scott Foster was reffing game four. We were not going to win. That Marcus Morris three, that was an and one, that is 100 out of 100, a defensive foul. That is never an offensive foul.
Jimmy, he purposely put them in a bad spot to set the Cavs up for the next game.
We were not going to win game four, yes.
So the bad defensive numbers on the road are intentional. They're setups.
Game four. Game three, we didn't show up. And
Jimmy,
it happens, and you're exactly right.
Jimmy.
That's crap. I don't know why.
Your road defensive numbers are bad. Why
is
that?
We're young. Part of it's because we don't score on the road, Felger. So teams take our misses, and they go in transition, and they boom, 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 and they score because we just don't know how to score on the other team's court.
So you're acknowledging the home road thing's a fact. You understand in the NBA Finals, you're on
huge.
The road. So you're on the road for the NBA Finals. You don't have home court against either the Rockets or the Warriors. You know that.
I think game one, those other teams are going to be hearing for a week about how the Celtics have no chance, no chance, no chance, and we are going to punch them in their grill in game one.
Okay,
and then we have home court advantage.
Okay, Jimmy, thank you for the call. Thanks for being a customer.
No, say, remember I've told you that I would love to be reincarnated as Bill Belichick, because even when he loses, there's some sort of master plan. I've now decided that I'd rather be Brad Stevens. He's a nicer guy. And it's to say, I mean, he's clearly just as smart as Bill. And he is. He's a nicer person. He's more media friendly. Like, he's congenial and pretty good looking dude. I don't know. I don't know if I can compare his wife to Linda. Like, I'd have to think about that one a little bit. But, I would pick Stevens over Belichick.
Okay, so we will be Celtics all day long. We do want to mix in some other things early and often. And we'll do a Red Sox minute. Maz has a problem. The Red Sox are winning again. They won again last night. But, of course, Maz has a problem. We'll get to that problem right after Murray's update.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Socked on a line, and that one headed for the alley. On this turf, it'll go all the way to the wall. Nunez into third. He's trying to score. The cutoff throw home, and he is out at the plate. Out at home. Nunez never slid, and the tag made by Sucre got him.
Well, Nunez is going to look towards Vasquez, and Vasquez, he's going to say, you were telling me to stay up. Vasquez should be in a different position telling him what to do, slide or stand up. He did nothing. You don't put it all on him, but he's supposed to be on that first base side telling Nunez whether to slide or stand up. Now, you can see Vasquez not doing anything there. He's not telling him a thing. Now, watch Nunez look over towards Vasquez, and he's got to put his hands up. You're telling me to stay up.
Well, you really do have to rely on that man, don't you?
You really do, and that's part of your job as an on-deck hitter. And so, you know, you got to get in position to tell that runner whether he's got to slide or stand up. And, of course, the call there would have been a slide.
All right, Red Sox win last night, open up, I think, a one-and-a-half game lead on the Yanks, who lose again.
That's right.
And Maz isn't happy. Why aren't you happy, Anthony?
Well, so first of all, that play right there, again, that was a scoreless game, and it had the feel early on. I was, you know, I was on the Celtics most of the night, but I was kind of clicking back and forth. And it had the feel that it was going to be kind of a 1-0, 2-1 game. It had that feel. Archer was throwing well. Price was throwing well. So the Red Sox get a chance to score here in the fifth inning. Bradley hits the ball into the gap. Nunez, two outs. Two outs. So he's off the crack of the bat. And even though you're playing on turf, Nunez feels to me like he's lost a step from last year, but he still should be able to score. He's waved in. He's comes bombing around, and he doesn't slide. And Vasquez is standing there the whole time doing I don't know what.
Thumbs up.
Totally. Did he ever? I mean, he had one behind him, one thumb behind him, and one in his ear, apparently. Like, and I look at it and say, dude, if you wanted to watch the game, sit in the clubhouse with the remote control. What the hell are you doing? And I'm getting a little tired of Vasquez. Like, you know, there was a story last week. All the Red Sox had better ERAs with Leon behind the plate. Leon's starting to swing the bat. You know, Swihart never gets in there, but Vasquez keeps playing. I want to know why. Like, I look at him in a play like that and I say, what the hell are you doing?
Vasquez is hitting 195.
He's been brutal. So they gave him a contract extension before the year.
OPS of 4-something?
Yes.
Holy moly.
He's been wretched. He's been wretched. He's been bad defensively. He's been bad offensively. And again, if you believe in the whole starters ERA thing, the only one that pitches better with him is Pomeranz. That's it. So I look at it and say, you've got to be kidding. Like, to me, that play last night, and I know it's a relatively small thing, okay, at least in the eyes of, but to me, it's unconscionable. Nunez is coming around third. You're trying to score in a 0-0 game, and he's just standing there watching the play. What the hell are you doing? And so Nunez looks at him.
I know. Didn't you think Nunez was pissed?
Yes, Nunez was like, what?
And he did a good job not showing him up. He just sort of, he didn't overreact, but you could tell Nunez was like, what?
And so as much as being made of the fact that Nunez didn't slide, and he obviously didn't, he also let up because he thought he was going to score standing up. If you watch it, and Remy doesn't really talk about it in that cut, but about three steps before the play, you see him kind of slow down, and all of a sudden he realizes the catcher is going to receive the ball, and then he starts coming again. Like, I don't think it was out of fear or something that he didn't slide. I think he just, he sort of looked at Vasquez, were you going to let me know the ball was coming?
So, is Corey going to know anything about the base running on the team? It's the exact same outfit when it comes to being on the bases.
It hasn't improved at all. It hasn't. Hasn't improved at all. And I've just come to the conclusion that the players are stupid. I mean, you can tell them a million times, and if they keep making the same mistakes at some point, because Cora keeps talking about it, he keeps talking about how the, you know, when we had him on the station earlier in the year, Cora said, you know, our base running early in the year was out of 1 out of 10, it was a 1. And I heard that and went, whoa. So he's a little, you know, he's a little more candid than you would even think if most managers would be. So he's been on them about the base running, and they're still making the same stupid mistakes.
All right, so David Price does not get a decision, but he goes six innings, only gives up the one earned run, three hits, nine strikeouts, another good line from David Price. I'll read from our pre-show email chain from Mason Souza. What's up, Mason? Have we met before? Yeah, maybe once or twice.
A few times.
You got Billy Lanny behind the glass, Mason Souza in the two chair back there. I like this Mason Souza.
Oh, yeah. No, Mason's got an attitude.
You read his pre-show email?
Oh, of course I did.
Kid's got an attitude.
Oh, yeah.
You got a future, Mason. I like this guy.
Mad Mason.
He says, finally, remember when David Price said he does not need to pitch in a bubble? Well, two of the last three games, he's pitched indoors away from the fresh-cut grass, no stray cats, and no dogs coming in. And that wacky thing with the weather, where it gets hot and cold, has not been a factor. Essentially, he's pitched in a bubble. And he's been pretty good. I say keep him in it, because that's where he helps the team, writes Mason Souza. Good point.
Yeah.
Put him in a bubble without the extraneous factors. He's actually okay.
Yeah, his career ERA is half a run better in domes.
Is that unbelievable?
It is unbelievable.
Did we ever look up whether most guys go up or down in domes?
I didn't look up other guys.
I have to think they go up.
Because the ball carries.
Yes. Yeah. Well, generally speaking, domes are offensive parks.
Usually.
Generally.
Yeah.
But his goes down.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. Yeah, controlled environment. You get the air conditioning in there, you know, temperature control, the whole nine yards, humidity control, everything works great, no fake grass.
Do you remember when he says he doesn't need to pitch in a bubble? Or, I'm sorry, he doesn't need to be in a bubble? It's not like you need to put me in a bubble or anything. Except you put him in a bubble the last two starts, he's been amazing.
Keep him in the bubble.
I gotta be a bubble boy. I'm the bubble boy. Everything has to be just right.
You know, come to think of it, there was a time where we talked about a retractable roof over a stadium in Boston. Maybe it is time to do something like that.
No fresh cut grass, no stray dogs or cats coming in, and that wacky thing with the weather where it gets hot and cold, not a factor, essentially a bubble. Good job, Mason Souza. I like his attitude.
Good job. Yeah, Mad Mason. I like it.
Okay, so there's your David Price thought. Red Sox on the board along with the Celtics from last night. Back to you right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I thought he called a cutter into Duffy. I don't know if it was 0-1 or 1-1. That was, I didn't think that was a strike. And it was a very close pitch. I haven't looked at it. And, I didn't think the backdoor cutter. I know the backdoor cutter to Adames in his second at bat. I know that was off, but that's not the reason why I was successful by any means. I didn't take advantage of it.
Price last night talking about the umpiring. I guess it was all over the place and he battled through it.
So my issue with Price last night, like when you really look at it, Peter Abraham in the Globe wrote this line, okay? He's been sharp in his last three starts, allowing 5 earned runs on 13 hits over 20 and a third innings and striking out 23. Generally true. It's been a big crap competition, but generally true. So why do I feel like Price still is screwing everything up? So last night, again, sort of a duel, the Red Sox score in the top of the sixth. You know what Price did? Up to that point, 5 innings, 71 pitches. He'd been efficient. He had 8 strikeouts. He had allowed 4 base runners, only 2 singles. Nobody had gotten past first base. He was in complete control of the game. You know what he did? Starting the next inning, after getting a 1-0 lead.
Did he walk the opening?
Walked the leadoff man. Of course, he walked the leadoff man. And then the next pitch, pull one right down the middle of the guy, hit off the top of the center field wall, and the game's tied at 1. It took 7 pitches for him to blow the 1-0 lead. 7 pitches. And you say, okay, well, fine, he kept it there, right. Except that, to me, that was sort of the big moment of the game where the starter's going to come out and get the 0. He didn't. And it brings me back to Price's last outing against the Baltimore Orioles, Billy, when he had a complete game shutout going in the 9th inning. Big spot. He faced the one guy in the Orioles lineup that could scare you, and this happened.
There's a shot high and deep. He leaned on that, and it is gone. Machado with his 14th home run of the season.
Boom. Damn it.
Just like that. It's like, it's still, as well as he is pitching overall, at those key spots, it's still the same stuff.
That home run was so predictable at that time, too. Because he wanted it. He wanted that complete game. He wanted the shutout. No, oh, I'm starting to get tight. And there it goes. I mean, the best hitter in that crap lineup.
It's the first thing I thought of last night. Like, here you go again. He gets a 1-0 lead. What does he do? Walk, double, tied. As soon as the pressure goes up, he cracks.
Okay, folks, want to weigh in on the Sox? 617-779-0985. Back to the calls. Mike's in Needham on last night's Celtics game. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, what's going on, guys? I'm calling because, first of all, Murray, I expect a weak whistle all day. That was not a very convincing Celtics win. But what I'm calling about, you guys think Jaylen Brown played particularly well last night?
I think his shot went down. He hit some threes. He hit some threes early on.
What I'm calling about is, Felger, after last night, you still think Brown has the highest ceiling than Tatum?
I do, but I think Tatum's a better player right now and is your most important offensive player. And I've been saying for days they need to get him going earlier.
Yeah, all right. Well, I mean, I think you're off base on that. I think Tatum by far is the better player. And I'll leave you with this. I think, and it's just a hunch, but I think you're listening to Tatum and Brown. They both sound good, but Tatum's actions have spoken a little bit louder than Brown's. I think Brown might be a little afraid of the moment.
Oh, no, no. I think Brown is a man. I think Jaylen Brown is beyond his years and is a thoughtful, intelligent, hardworking kid. Like, I like Jaylen Brown a lot as a guy. And I think that's going to bode well for him and Tatum, too. But I feel Tatum's a little less strong in terms of that. I think Jaylen Brown is a legit dude, which isn't, you know, it doesn't factor into my analysis. I think Jaylen Brown is more athletic and is a little longer. And if he gets a shot, if he can shoot from the outside and he can get that, I think he's going to be capable of more because he can beat more people off the dribble. He's more explosive, more athletic. And if he develops a shot, then he's just going to have more tools in the toolbox than Jason Tatum. That's all.
Yeah, look, the athleticism I don't think is even debatable. He's definitely a better athlete.
He'll be a better defender. He should be a better rebounder. And, again, if he gets the outside shot and people have to respect that outside shot, he should be able to draw it. You know, so I just think if he, you know, that's a big if. You know, Tatum's a much better shooter right now.
See, I thought he had a bad night last night. I thought Brown was bad in that game. I mean, you know, and I'm just throwing numbers at you now. I didn't even know he was 4-for-15. It's not even the shots. I just felt like he was not in sync in that game at all.
What was he from 3?
2-for-8. He was 7-of-8 from the line, so that's good to see, like, you know, because that's sort of been an issue for him, or at least it was at the beginning of the year. But I felt like he was careless with the basketball at times.
What was Brown in the first quarter? I'm just keep searching because I remember I thought he hit his threes early. I thought he was part of giving you that big lead early.
So he was 2-for-6 in the first quarter, 2-of-5 from 3. And 2-for-5 is 40%. I mean, you'll take that every time.
Okay, so maybe that's what I was just – maybe that's just stood out. And then I sort of drifted as the game started to suck.
No.
As they all have. Steve and Taunton. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, boys. How you doing? Let me tell you. Do you remember that point where it was just an 11-point lead by the Celtics? That was the most frustrating 5 minutes I have ever seen in my entire life. Nobody could hit a basket, and the Cavs were coming back. We are so lucky that the Cavs didn't hit their shots. That was pathetic. It looked like nobody couldn't even buy a basket at that point. Went on for 5 minutes.
So this is what Cleveland is saying today, and Tyronn Lue said after the game. They hold the Celtics under 100 points at home, hold the Celtics to, what was it again, the Celtics field
37%.
Goal? 37% from the floor. And Cleveland looks at that and says, well, that's a game you got to win that game.
Couldn't make a shot.
That's your chance to steal a game on the road. But LeBron was pulling his I'm tired routine from the first 5 minutes. I think it permeated the entire team. I think it filtered through the entire team.
That team to me has no sack whatsoever. Really, no sack whatsoever. And to me, the big issue the Cavs had last night, how many bad passes did they make?
Oh,
how many turnovers off of not just, and I say bad passes, I'm saying passes that you wouldn't tell a high school kid to throw. They were so bad.
Oh, God, one where Tatum was fronting LeBron. Who was that who threw it? Tried to throw it into LeBron, and Tatum was fronting him, and it was just right there to
yes,
him.
And there was one J.R. Smith tried to make from the top to the wing where he bounced it and got picked off easy.
Brutal,
remember that?
Brutal.
Like, they made a ton of bad, stupid passes, and they deserve everything they get from that loss.
Cleveland sleptwalked through the game. They showed up and sleptwalked through the game again. Is this Gerard in Boston? Go ahead, Gerard.
Hey, man, this is Gerard from Boston, man. I just want to talk to Maz, because Maz, I heard Maz earlier talking about The games have been boring in Boston. The Eastern Conference Finals have been boring. I don't think it's been boring. I'd love to see LeBron get the doors blown off him every night if I could.
So listen, Gerard, you're a Celtic fan, I take it, and I don't blame you for enjoying it. I don't blame you for being happy and celebrating it, but I'm telling you, the quality of basketball, the quality of competition in this series has sucked eggs. It has been horrendous.
Oh, it's demoralizing to me.
Horrendous.
I mean, outside of one game in the Western Conference Finals, the same thing, too. Like, okay, as a Celtics fan, this is great, and I want them to go to the finals. I believe in this team, and they'll have a competitive series, either against Golden State or Houston, but for these games, I want a competitive, gripping, edge-of-your-seat product, and it's been anything but.
It doesn't have to be every night. How about a single night?
Yeah, right.
Just one?
I'll take one. Maybe two out of the five if they were great games. I think that would constitute something that's acceptable. It's been zero. 0 for 5. There's not been a great game in this whole series.
I don't know if there's been even a good one.
I mean, game two is the only one you could say. Cleveland was up double digits and the Celtics fought back. And then Cleveland quit. So I can't call it a great game when one team quits in the playoffs. But at least that game, there was some resistance and a team overcame it. Other than that, has any team overcome anything?
No. Like watching J.R. Smith and George Hill here, it's offensive to me. Oh, like it's like someone's spitting in my eyes.
It's gross. It's freaking gross. And so that's why I watch sports. You face some adversity, you face some resistance, and you overcome it. And too often in the NBA, and too often in this series, one team faces that sort of resistance, and they just say, it's okay, we'll get them the next game. We're home the next game. And they just shut her down, and they sleepwalk through the thing, and that was Cleveland last night. And let's see, I still hold out hope. I'm willing it to happen. I want to give the Celtics credit for being more than that. Be a grittier team, a better coach team, all of that, and that they will show us that. They'll show us that in Cleveland in Game 6, but you know what? I also think I'm being set up by LeBron. And so this is another thing that frustrates me, the NBA, this fake drama, the setups. It's like, I'm hurt. No, I'm not, you know? Or I'm all banged up. I'm fatigued. Actually, I'm not, because does anyone have any doubt that in Game 6 in Cleveland, LeBron's going to come out, play 42 minutes, have a triple-double, score 40-plus points, and have a Cleveland-LeBron James moment? Like, is there any doubt in anyone's mind?
Nope.
So what was the thing last night with the huffing and puffing, and it's like just setting up.
It was an act.
It's setting up the Willis Reed, setting up the drama for Game 6. And like, I'm sick of being set up. Can I just see you guys fight through something?
It was prologue. That's what it was. It was the prologue. LeBron's just writing chapters for the league now. That's all he's doing. He's writing chapters for the league.
God!
And with all due respect to Gerard, who called in a second ago, last night was the worst of the worst. Not only was it bad competition, it was bad basketball. So, Murray, like you talked about the Golden State-Houston series, they've all been blowouts for the most part, except for Game 4. Game 1, at least, like I give as an example, Golden State, Durant, that was some good basketball. Like, to watch Durant, you say, okay, at least I can appreciate the skill. This game last night, I could get onto the playground just about anywhere and see a bunch of hacks, a bunch of fat guys running around with their shirts off that could play that kind of basketball, because that was garbage.
You weren't into that stretch there in the fourth quarter where it was missed layup after missed layup, and then they start kicking the ball around like it's a jelly ball at fifth grade recess?
I'll tell you what, let's hop in the car. We'll go over to the Newton Y, and we'll see a bunch of old fat guys sweating down their shorts in the back, leaving ass stains there, and we can see a better game than that garbage we saw last night. Because that's what it was. That was garbage.
We continue with your reaction to that right after Murray's update here. No commercials. Stick around.